anybody have any questions?
Mr. Chair, I've got a couple of questions. This is Susan.
I heard Susan. Who else?
Kim.
Kim. Anyone else? Okay, let's start with Susan and then Kim. Go ahead, Susan.
Thank you. I actually have three. The first one is, what can we do at the NFC to be a part of the solution? You know, ongoing monitoring, hearing exactly what the difficult cash flow choices are. That's number one. Number two, it seems we have a short-term hurdle. We're going to have to get past. We're going to have to retire the debt for the FJC loan. We've got the settlement we have to pay for. But then I think the long-term question, how can we get past that hurdle? When do we know that we have got a really unsolvable problem? And then the last one is, going to what R. Paul said, our product is radio. Having special events or whatever, that is not our business. That can help us in the short term. So what do you see for our being more competitive with radio and multimedia? Thanks.
Well, I think that we definitely need to take a very hard look at streaming online. I mean, and also what was kind of interesting with the grant that was put forward from the government was that they wanted the radio station, they wanted the radio programs created, but what they really wanted was the videos of the radio shows, because people are looking at them on YouTube. They were going to put them, you know, stream them on YouTube. So we need to move very seriously to look at the streaming online option of what we provide. And we have great stations, but a way to kind of talk about it and promote it within the people that are making programs is that you have a great program. It's doing really well in pick your city, you know, LA, Houston, Berkeley, wherever. Imagine now if that program was streamed, and not only do you have your audience in LA, you have your audience nationwide. You have your audience worldwide. I want to be able to have somebody tune in to a Pacifica station and know that it is Pacifica, you know, to be able to get online and stream and listen to or watch your favorite radio person doing their show, and to be able to know this is a Pacifica branded product. And I think that we need to up what we're doing to try to reach a younger audience, and everybody's used to seeing things on demand. So we need to try to enter that world. And we could easily do something with the archives as well, where you could have you donate and you get access to these archival shows. So, I mean, it's almost like your monthly donation is giving you a subscription to be able to hear on demand certain products. I know that the archives has also been we've been working very hard to get into the LA Unified School District, and each classroom pays a substantial amount of money in order to have access to the archives, which ties into their curriculum. So if we could do something like that with the LA Unified School District, then that could be something that could be replicated across the country in other major markets as well. So we need to really just take a close look at how we can spread who we are to a larger audience, which then generates more income. And I think that that would be entering the world of streaming.
Thank you. Kim.
All right. Well, going from front to backwards, if you need help with LAUSD, maybe talk to me. Thank you for what you said, Stephanie. I mean, because that's kind of what I was trying to say earlier about Berthold's Tower Project. It's easier to raise money for a specific thing. Donors like that. And, you know, the tower is sort of a big item that people can relate to. I just couldn't imagine raising money for the electric bill, but here we are, and if that's going to work, that's going to work. But, you know, I sort of broached the topic with Stuart, and he didn't get it coming from me. So, you know. As far as our programming goes, well, I mean, the easiest thing I can say is, I did sort of a deep dive into the last fund drive, which I haven't sent out yet, but I will. And a lot of the programs don't even pitch. And my understanding is that one of the reasons that PFW has improved is that either Jerry or Katia go on air with every program and pitch. And I think that that is one of the reasons their listener support has improved. And we don't have that. We don't have that at all. I mean, like I said, some of the shows don't even pitch at all, or they're just at best anemic. So it's not just like the programming is bad, but the way they relate to the audiences regarding their support is a problem. I mean, you know, I've been saying this for 12 years, but we still have no social media profile, you know? I mean, we do need a brand, and for people to be consistent with what it is and engage with people, you know, on social media. I mean, this is basic. I also talked to Sean a couple of weeks ago about something that I had, Sean at PRA, about something that I thought they had done, and it turns out they hadn't ever really done that, but he suggested, you know, oh, well, we have this, and we have that, and, you know, I gave it to Stuart, and I don't know what happened to it, but these are, like, good, non-expensive ideas, and it's kind of like why I was saying before, we need the GMs here, because, you know, I'm just kind of spitting in the wind. And as far as budgeting goes, nobody's done this more than me for, like, really 12 years. And there's nobody at K, you know. That's why I'm so happy to have Julia. But nobody at K is one bit interested in ever looking at that stuff. And it's frustrating. And we are where we are now because there's just a lack of interest in doing it. So I'm glad you, Stephanie, and you, Julia, understand that this is the way a business works. And I don't know. I mean, there is no quick fix, but it sounds like you're doing all the right things in this difficult time. That's all I can say.
Thank you, Kim. Anyone else for the staff?
This is Julia.
I heard our Paul and then Julia. That was you, our Paul, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay. I hear the various things being said, and some of the conversation tonight reads like some of my treasurer's reports over the years. And I think a part of what, you know, talking about going to raise money in other ways and this, that, and the other thing, a part of what needs to be understood is not everybody can do everything. And, you know, different people have different talents. And some people have more of the different talents than others, and some people don't seem to have a lot of talents. And some people may be able to do one thing halfway decently or okay, but not the other. And fundraising tends to be a talent some people have. I know that I don't have that talent. I know that years ago in the gay liberation movement, we were trying to raise money, and the best I could do was stand by a table on a street corner and beg for money for, you know, trying to sell somebody a button. And in the course of an afternoon, I could make $1.25 if I were lucky. And then somebody else comes along and raises $50 or $60, which half a century ago was quite a bit to raise on a street corner. People have talents. And probably what needs to be done is to look and see who has actual talent in Pacifica for raising money. If there isn't enough, if there aren't enough people who can do that, or maybe there's nobody who can really do it well, you got to look somewhere else and find somebody else who will want to be associated with Pacifica and everything associated with it, and can raise money. So I think that's a part of what has to be done. Find the right people for the job. And that's my thought. Thank you.
Thank you, R. Paul. Then I heard Julia.
Yes, and I'm actually, can you hear me all right?
I can hear you.
First, I'm going to follow up on R. Paul's comment and just say that I agree 100% with what he's saying about people's strengths and weaknesses, and that we have a lot of those strengths within the organization. They might just not be in a particular unit, and that we need to kind of do like we do with some of this programming and I just stepped on a frog. I'm sorry, I'm walking around outside because I couldn't
wake you up.
My desk anymore. Yeah, I can't believe I didn't push it.
I'm not going to ask about stepping on a frog, Julia.
I was going to say it really was a frog.
Okie doke.
You know, that, again, I think there's been some of it, but where I'll go back to that story where Terry had, when I shot him that email, said, hey, y'all had a great day, where it was, I think they had a $12,000 day, which right now is a huge day for them. And he said, oh, well, so-and-so from KPFA was pitching today or yesterday, and recognizing doing a lot more of that type of cross-station sharing of who can pitch. I don't know that necessarily paying other people to come in and do it is always the best idea. And then really my comment was just following up on what Kim said, was this is a business. And I know that's hard for people who are passionate about certain things to think about, but in the end, it's a business, and we have obligations to our creditors and to our staff to make sure that we pay them. And that's pretty much it. Thanks.
Thank you, Julia. I have a comment myself. Does anybody else need the stack at the moment?
Mac on the stack.
I hear Mac. Go ahead, Mac. Anybody else beside Mac? Go ahead, Mac.
Then I'll go. What we've reached is the intersection of finance and programming. We are the finance committee, and as such, we don't really, you know, hypothetically, I guess, or theoretically, we don't get into programming. But the fact is, the people who raise money, the people who have a talent for raising money, are our programmers. And any look at what works and what doesn't has to look at what programmers. Sure, some programmers don't even pitch. We have other programmers who, frankly, their programming just doesn't catch the listener's interest. And if they're not listening, they are not supporting. That's all I have.
Thank you, Mac. I'm going to make my comment now. I must have been listening to our poll all those years because I said to Stephanie in a meeting a couple days ago, or maybe yesterday, that when you're in a situation where an organization needs a turnaround, turnaround experts say focus on your core business. And I guess this is where I was listening to our poll because our core business is radio. And, you know, the model that we were set up with, which was the model for all of public broadcasting, was you put something out there that listeners will want to make a donation to support. And we seem to have gotten very far away from that. And so this relates to the question that I have, which is traditionally in Pacifica, any idea of sharing programs among stations, having national programming that would usurp various local programming is anathema. And so I want to just ask a general question to Stephanie, and this, you know, this may be old-time Pacifica stuff, which you don't have an opinion on just yet, but given this tendency to reject out of hand sharing of my idea of sharing the successful fundraising programs at the various stations, understanding that they all have different cultures and it may not work at one successful program in one place may not work everywhere, but might work somewhere. But the resistance that we get against that because of the idea that, you know, every local activist or as many as possible local activist groups should have a spot on the radio, even though sometimes they have no audience and they bring in virtually no donations. We have to find a way to pay to have that aspect of what we do, of our brand, if you will. And that means having some programs that will pay for to have those special other programs that aren't necessarily able to pay, so that it all balances out in the end. So that the question is, how do we deal in Pacifica with the resistance to having national programming at all in favor of this local programming that may not be as successful as it needs to be? How can we bridge that? How can we get to that other than, you know, just the very fact that we're in trouble, and if we don't do something, and, you know, this may be the answer, you know, we're not going to be here for very long. Stephanie, that was kind of a long-winded. I don't know if you can get a question out of that. That was
No, that's perfectly fine. Numbers don't lie. And when we look at what shows are bringing in as far as what programs are bringing in as far as revenue, I know one way that we looked at it at KPFK recently is we just covered the names of the shows and just looked at the revenue. And it was very easy and obvious to say, why are these shows even on the air? I guess I shouldn't say shows. I still am thinking in TV terms. Somebody told me I shouldn't call them shows. When we look at the programming and we see right in front of us that there's 10 or 15 different programs that aren't bringing in revenue, it's very easy to say, why are these even on the air? And then you open up the flap of your paper and you see what the names of them are. Oh, well, no, that's my favorite. We can't pull that off. Oh, well, no. Oh, well, oh, we can't. You know, well, again, numbers don't lie. And they're possibly in a way that if it's a great favorite of, you know, some people that are loving it and supporting it, then we work with the programmer to determine, you know, we're going to replace the show right now with something else just so we can generate revenue. And then let's really sit down and figure out what we can do to make sure that your program is such that it will bring in revenue. Do we need to be able to create carts for you that are from the general manager? Because I agree that is a very positive way for people to raise funds. I know that the former GM at KPFK did not want to record any carts to do that. It's been helpful. Also, Quincy does a lot of those as well at his station, so that works. And then work with that programmer to see if this is something, what can we do to make this program more revenue bring in more revenue. And if it doesn't work, then we focus on something else. But the concept of national programming makes perfect sense to me. I want somebody to tune into Pacifica at any given moment, wherever there's an airwave, and know that this is a Pacifica program, that I know that every Sunday at 2 o'clock, this is what I'm going to hear, whether I'm in LA, whether I'm in Houston, whether I'm in New York. And that's what makes me feel comfortable, because Pacifica is my station. You know, I want listeners to be able to feel that way, because then that's what's going to have them donate. And then also sharing programming makes perfect sense. And I'm not too sure what stations are resistant for that. I know that a lot of the general managers are very open to having programs that are shared. So I don't know if some of the resistance is coming from the people that are sharing it, that they don't want to, or if that resistance is coming from the general managers that are receiving it, or if the resistance is coming from individual boards at the stations that don't want their quote unquote program disrupted. So, and also with social media, totally agree that we don't have a social media presence. Our websites need to be completely redone. The donate buttons on the pages are impossible to find. You know, so there's the app needs to be completely redone. I listen to all the stations on our app, and there isn't anywhere on the app that tells me what I'm actually listening to. I'd love to be able to see the name of the show. You know, so there are a lot of those things that we need to do to kind of bring us into the modern age. And even just, you know, with social media, we can reach a much broader audience. I was just in a workshop recently over the weekend that was all about just millennials and the amount of money that millennials have to actually give out. And, you know, 40% of millennials make donations after learning about a cause or an organization on social media. Boomers, only 18%. Gen X, 27%. You know, so there's a whole audience, you know, 84%, I think it was something like 84% of all millennials give to charity, and 70% give more than 3 to 4 hours of their time each week to organizations that they care about. So there are whereas only 35% of boomers consider themselves philanthropic. So we are not reaching audiences that we need to, you know, that we need to reach. We want to, of course, keep the listeners that we have, whether they're boomers or, you know, older, but we also need to meet the needs of those donors that are on their way up, you know, which are the millennials.
Good answer. Kim. I like that. Go ahead, Kim. And Kim, before you go, let me ask if there's anybody else who wants to get on.
Beth would like recognition.
Let Beth go first. I've spoken.
Anybody else besides Kim and Beth? Go ahead, Beth.
Thank you. Yes, this is the Finance Committee. But I chair the Development Task Force and wanted to be sure that everyone here knows where to find us. That's where we do work on the revenue end of things. We meet once a month on the fourth Monday of every month at 8:30 Eastern Time, 5:30 Pacific Time. And the coordinates are posted on KPFTX, the Maestro call numbers. This month, that'll be April 25th, and I would invite everyone and anyone here, if you're here and enough interested in the finances to be present in this moment, then I would invite you please to join us then. That's where we do track a number of different potential revenue streams and focus on whichever ones make the most sense each month or are showing the most activity or the most promise. I'm especially interested at this point in looking for anyone who has experience working on developing a fundraising project of your own or a small one you could do with a handful of people that you know, or would be interested in trying to develop something like that. I've been hearing more about people who have done that, and there's a greater call within Pacifica for each of us to step forward and figure that out. And there, it can take almost any form, excuse me, but I would be happy to work with you either through the meeting or one-on-one aside from that if you'd like coaching or networking or partnering or you know, whatever it takes to help you put something like that together, please be in touch and let me know and we'll see what we can do to help you. Thank you.
Thank you, Beth. Go ahead, Kim.
I don't know if this is too much in the weeds, but, well, no matter whether it's a popular program from another station, you know, it just, even, I mean, new programs just take a long time to, for people to accept them. I mean, no matter, you know, there's a rare maybe program, but like, you know, Letters in Politics is one of our most popular programs now, but we've had it on for like 10 years and it's only recently that it started bringing any money in at all. And it may be because the absence of other things, but it takes a long time to get for listeners to like new programs. And, you know, we do have a you know, it's, you know, I forget who just said this, that, you know, fundraising on air is a gift. It is a talent. One of the things I suggested a number of years ago was to have people from different programs pitch together. You know, there is there are some people, and I don't know how many we have left, who are strong pitchers on their programs, and they can help other people as well. And sometimes it happened once. I mean, I suggested it to the PD at the time. It happened like once. It was a fantastic program because it was so unexpected, and it was like sort of everything you want live radio to be, like where you never really know what's going to happen next. And of course, you know, it never happened again because, you know, no good idea goes unforgotten at Pacifica. And I remember another time when Maggie LaPine, it was like John Lennon's some birthday or something or anniversary of his death or something. She had programmed maybe 6 hours of John Lennon programming from like 6 different programmers who each took a different aspect of his life, his music, his politics. You know, John Wiener did the FBI chasing him and all that stuff. It was fantastic programming. And it had absolutely no promotion, so nobody was listening. It was put on a Saturday, and, you know, it was forgotten. But it was fantastic programming. These things can happen when you get a bunch of people together kind of brainstorming. And I'll tell you, the programmers, you know, and the staff are never going to listen to anything anybody on the board say. It's just, you know, they deservedly hate us. So,
Kim, we are running out of time. Could you wrap?
You know, these ideas have to come from them. And that's it. Thanks.
Understood. Thank you, Kim. We are now at time for this item. So unless anyone wants to extend, we should move ahead with the agenda, but we are, I will point out, rapidly approaching our time certain to close. We are
at number 7, and we need so I'm just going to ask if anybody would like to extend, understanding that we won't, you know, we're almost out of time.
Personally, I'm happy to move on.
So I don't hear any motion yet to extend. If no one wants to extend, we'll go ahead.
Mr. Chair, can I simply ask, what is motion number, what is the 7th item? Is it my motion?
No, the next item is the motion updating Pacific transaction limits, and then your motion is the next item after that.
Okay. Mine, I don't know about civic transactions, but mine can wait for the next meeting.
Okay. Thank you for that. Beth, motion updating Pacifica transaction limits.
Yes, we have, 3 minutes left?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, wait.
Two or three, depending on whether I'm looking at my computer or my phone.
James, I thought you were asking for a motion to extend the previous agenda item, but I'll be happy to extend it to you know, like 10 minutes to deal with this motion.
I was asking, you were correct, I was asking about the previous item. And why don't we, let's just hear what Beth has to say and then see if she wants to ask for an extension.
Yes. I got the first substantial feedback on this motion within less than an hour. I guess it was about an hour before this meeting. And if it's please the committee, I'd like to take that into account. So far, I've modified this motion to accommodate input from 4 other different sources as it came in over the last few weeks. And this most substantial input came in just before the meeting, and I would appreciate the time to incorporate those considerations into the motion and then bring it back again next time, if that's okay with the committee. I would also like to ask that if anybody else has any input, any critique, any ideas, any considerations that I may have overlooked and need to be put into the motion, that I would like to issue this last call for input, because those really have been useful, valuable in shaping this, and I want to be sure that we get our best thinking in. So, Beth, yes.
Beth, as we discussed, this motion doesn't belong to you anymore. It belongs to the committee. And so we would need a motion to postpone it, I guess, until the next meeting again. Is that what you'd like to do?
Mr. Chair?
Right up, Paul.
Yes. I didn't hear the motion made. It doesn't get made in the meeting. It ain't on the floor, and it doesn't belong to the committee yet.
Well, it was made last time, and we postponed it till this meeting.
It was made, but now it's been changed.
Oh, that's true. Good point.
So I would suggest we just go to the next meeting, and she'll bring it up then in whatever form it's in.
Okay, thank you.
That's good. Thank you, Arpal. Appreciate that. Did you have something else, Beth?
Nope, that's all. Thanks a lot. But just please, if anybody has anything else, now's your chance. I'd love
Understood.
To hear. Thanks.
Understood.
Well, it's not on the floor, so I can't speak to it, but I have, you know, a bunch of issues with it.
Well, let's work on that, Ken. That would be good. That would be very helpful.
No, I'll say what I have to say, but, you know, I mean, it's you want to give me time to say it now.
I'd be glad to give you time to say it now, except we are at our time certain. So would someone like to extend?
Mr. Chair, I would suggest, I think it would be helpful to have that her comments at the time that we're dealing with this, and for Kim to perhaps share them with other committee members so that we can take them into account in advance of the next meeting.
That sounds reasonable.
This is Beth proposing, and if we extend for, is 5 minutes enough, Kim? Or how much do you want?
I don't know, 2 minutes.
Let's go for five.
I don't have a motion yet, so if somebody wants to
It's dumb because this motion isn't on the floor. So, you know, I mean.
It's on the agenda.
Well, we're on the item at the agenda, so we haven't read the motion yet. But if you want to move to extend for 2 minutes to make a comment, I think that's what Beth seems to be asking for, and you seem to be agreeable. So I'm ready to do that.
All right.
That's okay. So do I hear a motion to extend for 2 minutes?
Moved.
Okay. Is there any objection? Hearing none, we'll go for 2 more minutes from now.
Okay.
Go ahead,
first of all, I'm not sure what problem this is trying to solve. I don't understand what the first paragraph means or the second paragraph means at all. I can't see... In case of emergency, the most senior acting Pacifica manager may obtain the necessary approval with the signatures of the current acting. I don't understand what this is. I mean, if there's an emergency, and I can't even imagine what kind of emergency that you're speaking to, I mean, the CFO or the ED are the places that are the places to go to. There's no situation where PNB members should be able to approve any expenses like this, like what you're talking about. They don't have the knowledge, especially since we're so, you know, cut to the bone. I mean, PNB members have no idea what our bank accounts are. They can't be given GM's permission to wire money because it's an emergency. I mean, there's no situation that I can think of where the CFO or the ED would not be available. I mean, and if the ED is not available, then arrangements are made for the chair of the PNB to be the acting interim ED, and that's the chain of command. But PNB members do not get to authorize, emergency expenditures. I think that's just, you know, it's completely... doesn't make sense. It's not their job. It's not their responsibility. That's micromanaging. It's the CFO and the ED's job to do that. And, you know, it seems to me you're dealing with two different issues here. I think one is over budget expenses and the other is emergency expenses. And I don't know how you can control over budget expenses. I've been trying to do it for 12 years, and I haven't seen any effective way to do that, and this doesn't address it either. So those are my sort of general issues with this.
Okay. We have now exhausted our time, and unless someone else wants to extend, I think, Beth, maybe you got what you wanted there, and you can work with it. I appreciate that. And so I think unless I hear a motion to extend, we'll call the meeting adjourned, and I will thank Susan for being willing to take up her motion at the next meeting. I'm not hearing a motion to extend. One more time. And so now I will say that we are adjourned. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Arthur, for showing up. And thank you, Stephanie, for your report. Thank you, Julia, for your work on the financials. And thanks, our Paul, for the minutes. And Fred for streaming. And we're out. Thank you very much, people.